It always feels like such an incredible honour to be able to share the word with you guys. And, you know, just to be able to, I suppose, speak what's on my heart, because there's things that Pastor Brian is putting out there, and, you know, God's taken me back in my memory recently to my teenage years, because I see him, I see Pastor Brian really coming over and working with these guys and challenging them, questioning them, calling them forward. What he's actually doing is he's helping you rise up and break limitations off your life and break vagueness off your mind. And I've been exactly where you are. And let me tell you, it is a good place to be. And if you respond, God, you will see God do amazing things in your life. So, you know, I'm remembering my days of when I was a high school student and we did this thing called Training for Life, very similar to what Pastor Brian's doing with the youth now and the leaders are working with the youth now. But what came out of him in that season, I saw was like a treasure. It came from the depths of him. And it's like the depths of him called to the depths of me. And it was like the God in the man was calling forth the Jesus in me. And it's like they connected and something amazing happened through that connection. And I just wanted to, you know, in the last few weeks, you know, I've been very conscious of the limitations on my own life. I've been a bit frustrated by them, a bit tired. I'm like, oh, I'm just not picking things up. I'm a bit vague. I'm a bit sleepy, you know, and I just feel like, you know, there could be all the reasons in the world for that, but I don't want to miss the treasure. I don't want to miss the treasure. And I feel like what the enemy does is he limits your life and he causes you to live in the shallows. And when you're in the shallows, you don't receive the depth. And it's like you don't unlock the blessing that's inside the house, that's inside the man and woman of God around you, because you were just surviving in the shallows. And it's time to move from survival. It is time to move from limitations. And I just feel like this thing, that scripture from Psalm is just on repeat in my mind, deep calls unto deep, deep calls unto deep. So this morning, I want to get to the depths and I pray that, you know, we open our hearts and that something I share will touch the depth of your heart. So I just want to be really vulnerable with you this morning because I know that God is doing something very incredible in this season, and it feels like we've just, you know, transitioning into something new, and sometimes it's a bit hard to grasp it. But I really believe there's a grace upon this house to overcome. There is a grace to overcome every limitation. There is a grace to rise above every sin, to rise above every struggle. And that's what I've called the message this morning, the grace to overcome. So this is centered around Isaiah 40, 31. Nope, we don't have it. That's okay. Oh, Levi's running. There he goes. Oh, well done. Isaiah 40, 31 and Romans 8. So these are things that we have been speaking on this year, and they're really beginning to, I think, do a deeper work in me. So I'm trying to articulate that deep work this morning. But it's a, you know, the Romans 8, I love the way that it's being described, the Romans 8 company. You know, we read Romans 8, and yes, it is a personal call to rise, but it's not just for individuals, it's a collective as well. And we can become a company of people, a Romans 8 company that breaks through our limitations and lives in the Spirit, where Christ is revealed through a company of people to a wider city, region, nation. So that is what we're being called to do. And I think it was 2 weeks ago, I came to church and I started praying in the prayer meeting, and it was just like this, I felt God just arrest my attention, and I thought, like, what could I describe this, you know, the spirit that I'm feeling in this house that's beginning to really, I suppose, come forth. And I felt like there was an Isaiah 40, 31 grace upon the house. And I started praying about it. And then I remembered our old building back in the 90s. I'd actually forgotten about this. Our whole back wall where the band was, there was an enormous painting, detailed painting of an eagle in flight, and the scripture Isaiah 40, 31 on it. It was a masterpiece. It was beautiful. And I'm like, wow, there really is an Isaiah 40, 31 spirit upon this house. And it is, in a nutshell, the grace to rise above and overcome. And that's what I want to unpack this morning. So Isaiah 40, 31 says this, "But those who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not grow faint." That is good news for anyone who's feeling tired. For anyone's feeling limited, a bit burnt out, tired, those who wait upon the Lord will renew their strength, mount up with wings as eagles. So, an Isaiah 40, 31 people, just a few things about them. They don't beg God to spare them from hardships. They partner with God and learn how to rise above the hardships. They learn to work with the winds and the storms so that everything is used to their advantage, just like the eagle. And then in that elevated place with God, they find their rest, renewal and strength. So, I think back, my spiritual journey when I was an immature Christian and my prayer was so different. My prayer was, God, please take this pain away from me. Please spare me the hardship. Please stop this. Please change that person. Please take that away, And then as I've grown and matured, I've looked back and realized God used every experience, every heartache, every pain, every attack, everything, every person, good, bad, evil, otherwise, He used that in the making of me. God in the making of me. So that my prayer now has changed because I have this rest because God has already proven Himself to me. He is sovereign over everyone and everything in my life. As long as my life is His, He is sovereign and He uses it to my for my good. The eagle is the same. There's winds, there's whipping around, there's storms. The eagle, do you know what it does? It just uses it to go higher, just increases the altitude. It doesn't fight against the wind and the storm. It just rises above it. So, my prayer now is different to what it was when I was a baby Christian because I'm like, these things aren't going to destroy me. So I don't have to be in such despair and begging God. I am giving it to God and I'm going, okay, God, this is really painful, but I know you're in the making of me. I know you're using this. I know you are in control. And it helps you, that trust, it helps you rise above the storm. So this is that imagery that we see in Isaiah 40, 31, that is incredibly poetic. There is such incredible imagery in it of that eagle, and it is a picture of what it means to live in the Spirit. It gives imagery to the words of Romans 8. It reminds me of, again, looking back at my journey. Sometimes you can rally against the situations and things that are going on in your life, and it feels like you can fight every devil and name it and strangle it and rebuke it and cast it out, however you're trying to cope. But at the end of the day, it has you in a dance, it has you engaged, it has your attention, and there's an energy behind that that sucks you in. And that is not where you're meant to live, engaged in an epic life or death battle with this, whatever it is. It might be a sin issue. It might be an anxiety issue. It might be depression. It might be grief. It might be disappointment. Whatever it is, there are giants in each one of our lives. And there are spiritual forces who use that thing to try to shut you down. And sometimes those things have more our attention more than God. Sometimes we think they have more control over our lives than God. And we can get locked into the depths of this kind of supernatural war. And you've just subjected yourself to it. And it's like the most powerful, I heard Dr. Jonathan say this once, the most powerful form of spiritual warfare is actually maturing. It is maturing in Christ. It is taking your attention away from all the pain and all the taking your eyes away from what the devil is doing and bringing it back to what is God doing and beginning to see the Christ in you being formed. There's a treasure on the inside of you that if you don't give it attention, feed it, it's going to stay in its infancy. But if you begin to work with it, work with God, partner with God, that Christ in you begins to mature, it begins to form. And that Christ in you is what raises you above every storm, above every attack. It teaches you how to respond to everything that is thrown at your life, and you begin to become the giant. You know, it's not this sin issue that is intimidating you or this worry or fear that is intimidating you anymore. There are giants that have been in my life that I thought, I am never going to beat that. I'm just going to have to learn to cope with that. And now it's like I'm looking down on those things like I'm the giant and they're the ant. You know, that's what Christ in you does. It makes you bigger than the giants in your life. So sometimes, you know, there's, you know, I don't want to criticize anything, but I've, in my time, seen a lot of things, thought about them a lot and thought, I don't know if that's the right way. You know, sometimes there's, I know for me, I'll say this, I know for me, I did not need any weekly 2-hour long counselling sessions to come out of my to come out of the pain of my childhood. You know, I'm not saying that for everybody, but for me it was like I just had to connect with something higher than me, something beyond my pain, something visionary, something that and then when I start reading the Bible and people like Pastor Brian and Lynn and my leaders start opening up the Bible to me, it gives context to my pain and it reconceptualizes it. And I'm like, hold on, there is a bigger picture here. You know, so what I'm saying is that there is a treasure on the inside of you and there is a treasure on the inside of this house and inside the leaders, inside the pastors. And that treasure is Christ within. And when once that starts maturing, you start overcoming. You start connecting to the grace to overcome. So, you know, don't engage in all the fights. Don't take your eyes off. Do you know what the eagle does? There are other birds, smaller birds, because it's like the biggest one. They start attacking the eagle. The eagle does not shift course. It does not even take its eyes off its course. It stays on course and it doesn't stop to fight these little critters. It rises. It just increases in altitude until those things fall away because those birds can't climb to the same altitude. Not only that, it flies to the sun because the other birds can't do that. So, you know, the key is that you don't stop and fight everything. You don't look at your limitations and give it power because you've given it your attention. You know, we lift our eyes. We lift, you know, if you look at a church like this, the existence of a church like this to me is a miracle. You have got people in a little country town who are from all different cultures, all different ethnicities, different nations, different backgrounds. You've got people from jail. Every time I say that, it makes me laugh. You've got people from jail. I love you guys. This is why I love you, because I see what God has done. He has gathered us together, and we could, if we wanted to, look at all our differences and be like, I don't like the way that you say that. That hurts my feelings. And I don't like the way you look at me like that. And maybe you could do it like this, or maybe you could do it like that. And it would descend into chaos and mayhem. But there is an order in the house. There is a grace in the house. There is a unity in the spirit. Why? Because we are all people from all different spots going in the one direction. We are all going up. And, you know, sometimes I've felt, you know, in my career, in politics, in media, this pull between left and right. Are you left or are you right? Oh, no, I'm definitely right. I'm right. And then I'm like, hold on. Actually, sometimes some things that people say on the left are true. Maybe I'm a little bit And then the people on the right go, oh, no, 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 you've got to come back here. I'm like, sorry, 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 sorry. Mate, but hold on. I'm just trying to, you know, do you know what? You don't have to be left or right. You go up. You go up every time. If you have a problem with your brother or your sister, the way is up. You know, as humans, our fleshly way is to go down. We want to sit all the parties down and go through every single word and every single situation and every single transaction between conversation, and we want to go down the rabbit hole and we want to solve it. And it doesn't work. It doesn't work. You go up. Like Mark and Remy, you guys, the only way for you was up. You know, we were very involved in Mark and Remy's restoration. But before it was a restoration, it was Mark and Remy's chaos. And they know I love them very much, and I can say this because their testimony's in the book down the back. But there were different, you know, ideas. Like, we've got to get these guys to sit in a room and go through some really big counselling sessions. And we're like, that can't happen because they're going to kill each other. They're going to tear each other apart. You know, the way for them was separately, they each went up. They each went on a journey of restoration and they answered the upward call. You know that scripture, I press towards the prize of the upward call. You go up. When you don't know what to do, you go up. When you don't know what to believe or what to think or you're getting pressured, you go up. Don't let anyone ever pressure you to take a side or take their opinion or whatever. You go up. And in the upward movement, there is unity. There is peace. There is harmony. And you will find that there are things in your heart that maybe, or your thinking and your mentality that aren't quite accurate, that God just begins to solve as you move up. So that's where we meet. We meet in the upward call. The other thing I wanted to say is the word wait in this scripture, in the original Hebrew, means to entwine. So it's an active waiting. It's connecting with Him in a way that makes it difficult to break free. It's connecting with Him in a way that makes it even difficult to identify between the two parties, between you and Him. So it's an entwining of your heart with His, of your thoughts with His, of your spirit with His, like two ropes being braided into each other and you don't know where one starts and the other ends. It's a meshing together. So those who wait upon the Lord entwine their hearts with the Lord, entwine their hearts, their thoughts with the Lord, their spirits with the Lord, they will renew their strength. That is what it means to wait upon Him. It is something that you must seek and you must position your heart for, that you must pursue. It's not like just sitting in a chair and waiting, just waiting for God to show up. Oh, well, that is not the waiting. It is an active pursuit. It is entwining your heart with His. You know, in order to do that, you've got to push everything aside and lay everything else down. You know, that mentality or that opinion or, you know, maybe you think this is a good idea. You've got to actually just lay that on the altar so that you can entwine your thoughts with His, because He might want to change those thoughts. It is like a divine exchange where you're entwining with Him and His life becomes yours. His strength becomes yours. That's how you renew your strength, because you've got a new source of strength. It's not you, it's Him. It's the one that you're entwining yourself with. So a couple of things Oh, look, I don't even want to go through that now because Jules did it. Romans 8, I'm looking at looking at my points and he said them all. But it is such, like, probably the most inspiring passage of the Bible, Romans 8. And it shows us that we have a choice, two different worlds that we can live in. And you can be a Christian for decades and go to church every Sunday and still live under the law of sin and death. You can live in the flesh. And then, you know, just like that song was saying, and then it becomes religion and it becomes hard work and it becomes just something that you do. Or you can be translated into the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. And that's everything changes. There is freedom, liberty. You know, the Bible explains that describes it as the glorious liberty under that life. So I've got a few points this morning about how do we live in the Spirit? How do we rise in the Spirit? How do we get there? And they draw on Romans 8. So the first one is, it's all about connection. This is probably, Julian and I possibly sound like broken records because the words connection, communication, well, that's his big one, and response are probably the things we preach on most. But it's just the biggest breakthrough of my life has been connection. And it's a revelation that God gave me because I really was a very isolated person. I was an only child, parents divorced, found myself without anyone by the age of 14 except my beautiful grandparents, but they were a long way away. So I was just the epitome of a loner. I was. And it's all right, it's got a better ending, the story. But God put me in this church. And what is incredible about this is that I was surrounded by people, but I was still alone. I was still the biggest loner. Surrounded by the best people on earth, and I just couldn't connect. And it's something that caused me so much grief and pain and confusion, and I just didn't know what I was doing wrong. But praise God for it, because again, that hardship, it pushed me into seeking God in a way that you don't when everything's rosy, you know, when everything's blessed. And I was like, the cry of my heart was like, God, how do I do this? You know, I'd been so hurt and broken, I didn't even know how to relate. I didn't even know what a healthy relationship looked like, a healthy friendship, a healthy relationship with a mother or father figure. So everything scared me, everything. So I would just run away. I would just disconnect and be alone. And I had the biggest revelation when I learned it's all about connection. The kingdom of God, God's way is all about connection. And then I started seeing the pattern through scripture. So it's you know, I loved Jesus. I loved God with all my heart, but I was alone and I was disconnected because of the limitations and the boundaries that I put up in my own heart. And that meant that I was trying to figure out everything on my own. And that was hard work. And it took a long time. But when you connect with someone who's going before you, leading you, it's not about what you carry. It's about who you were connected to and what they carry, because that becomes yours. So there is an incredible principle everywhere through the scripture when it comes to connection, grace, and transfer. So whenever you connect accurately with the leadership God's put in your life, it opens you up to a grace that is beyond what you have accessed yet for yourself. So you might not have won the victory in some areas, but someone else has. Someone else has won that victory. Don't you think God wants you to connect with them to help walk you through and access that grace rather than you struggling on your own, striving on your own, you know, like me, like, God, please, I'm in so much pain, I'm so hurt, take these awful circumstances away. And God going, let me just connect you to an eagle who's soaring above that. You know, that is the kind, that is the way grace and connection works. So for example, there's a few scriptural examples here. David's father is Jesse. And under Jesse, David has the grace to fight lions and bears. I think, what a good son. You know, I don't know if I told my sons, can you go and mind these sheep for me, if they would do it to the level of excellence that David did it and be willing to kill a lion and a bear. I'm pretty sure they wouldn't. I'm pretty sure Archie would come back an hour later and be like, I'm hungry. You know? But I think, gee... Jesse's a good dad. He trained his son well. His son fought and killed lions and bears just to protect his sheep, his dad's sheep. Good job, Jesse. Okay. But under Samuel, David took down a giant. You You know, he was upgraded from lions and bears to Goliath. That's because he came under a new grace the moment he connected with Samuel. So I think it's 1 Samuel 16, Samuel anoints David to be the next king, and by 1 Samuel 17, he'd taken out Goliath. That's the way grace works. So it's not that Jesse was incompetent or limited. It was about calling and territory. And in Jesse's territory, he's like, David, this is my territory. This is our territory. I want you, this is your mission, your task. I want you to carry out this mandate. Look after and protect these sheep in this territory. And David does it to the absolute point of excellence. But Samuel comes along and the territory widens to the nation of Israel. And he says, you're going to be the next king. This is now your territory, expanded, the nation. So the nation and the call, he comes under a new leader, Samuel. Jesse is still his father, still in his life. But Samuel begins to unlock a grace for him that causes him to slay giants, because it's about the nation, and that giant was threatening the nation. So under Jesse, the giant was the lions and the bears that were threatening the sheep. Under Samuel, the giant was Goliath threatening the nation. David had the grace to defeat all of those threats because of the fathers in his life that he was connected to. So do you see how that works? It's so powerful. It's about grace, connection, territory, calling. David was plucked from the fields, catapulted to the front lines of national battle, set up for a victory where every eye in Israel and every eye from the enemy nation was on him and the victory. No one could have arranged it better. No PR company could do that. That was God setting him up for kingship. Yeah. So the other example is in the New Testament, in Acts, the believers in Ephesus. They, you know, Paul comes into Ephesus. You would have heard Pastor Brian speak about this, but he says, do you know the baptism of the Holy Spirit? And they said, no, we've never heard of the Holy Spirit. We know the baptism of John the Baptist. So they are under that grace. That's awesome. But then Paul begins to lay hands on them and baptize them in the Holy Spirit. They speak in tongues and they prophesy. And instantly they're upgraded because they've come under a new grace. And their expression has changed. Their experience of God has changed. Their revelation has deepened. And Paul begins to teach them and train them, disciple them. And eventually the whole city erupts in a riot because of it. And it wasn't these 12, it was only about 12 people. It wasn't those 12 people because they had already been there the entire time. It was the fact that the 12 people had come under a new grace, and that began to disrupt the spirit realm in that city. It began to disrupt every evil thing that that city and its economy was built on. So it's 12 people coming under a nation-shaking apostolic grace that caused the city of Ephesus to erupt into a riot. But from that base, all of Asia heard the gospel. So it's about an access point. You know, those people were in that city. There was a battle raging in that city because that was the access point for all of Asia. It also works in the reverse. So in Acts 19, there are some people called the seven sons of Sceva. God is doing incredible miracles at this time through Paul, where handkerchiefs are coming into contact with his body and going out, and people are being healed. The sons of a Jewish priest named Sceva tried invoking Jesus' name to cast down an evil spirit. And this demon said, Jesus I know, Paul I know, but who are you? And I just think, gee, that would have been terribly humiliating. But that the reason that happened to them is because they weren't under anyone's authority. They were trying to take the program and apply it themselves. Oh, let's just use Jesus' name and try to cast that out. And they failed miserably because it's not about what you say. It's not about what you do. It's about where you are in the spirit. Who are you connected to in the spirit? Whose authority are you under? They were completely, these men, disconnected and disempowered to take on an evil spirit. So the spirit world doesn't just see you as you, it sees you and who you're connected with, past, present and future. So we see that here in the demonic world, but you can get also see that God sees that as well, because in Genesis 18, God says about Abraham, how can I hide from Abraham what I'm about to do? Abraham will surely become a great and powerful nation, and all nations on earth will be blessed through him. Wow. So the demonic world sees who you are and aren't connected to, and it knows what access it can have and how far it can go in your life. But God can see what is to become of your life. So my question this morning is, what does your life look like in the spirit world? Who are you connected to? Who are you under? Whose grace is covering you? Are you isolated and disconnected, or are you connected into the vine? Are you part of a network, you know, in the spirit realm? Because it's obvious in the spirit realm. That's, we can't see it in the natural, but in the spirit realm, it's obvious. So many giants in our life remain giants because we are facing them alone. But when you connect with a man or woman of God that has been placed in your life, you're connecting much more with much more than a person. You're connecting with the grace that is upon their life, and you're accessing that grace for your life. So you're connecting with all the victories they've had, all the breakthroughs they've had, all the revelations they've had. They become yours. They become yours. This is exactly Elijah and Elisha, what happened there. Elisha said, I want a double portion. And he followed Elijah right up to the point that he was taken. And he had his own grace. He had his own portion on his life. But then when Elijah was translated into heaven, he also got Elijah's. So he got double. So there is, these things on the inside of you are eternal. You know, there is a legacy for every one of us. Like, I think myself, now that I have kids, I'm like, oh, there's battles that I've won, and there's revelations I've got of God, and there's victories I've had and things that I've broken through. I want to transfer it all into their heart so that they don't have to do the same things I did and feel the same pain that I did. You know, they will have to walk their own path. They will have to fight their own battles, but there are things that they don't need to face because mum and dad did it, you know. And in the same way, I've got a glimpse into Pastor Brian and Lynn's heart as a mother and father in the spirit, that they have been through so much. And I know that their victories are passing on to me because I'm pursuing that. I'm pursuing that connection. I'm like, Lord, give me that inheritance. That is a treasure that I want in my heart and I want in my life. I want to walk in that, and I also want to pass it on to my kids because it is a blessing beyond words, you know. So these things are eternal. They don't just die with the person. They don't, you know, someone gets taken into heaven. Elijah gets taken into heaven, and the anointing he had has to go somewhere. It doesn't just disappear, you know. And it, because Elisha positioned himself, he was the only one out of all of the prophet, the student prophets, who positioned himself to get that anointing. So there are things in the spirit world, in people's lives, that they carry for you. Access it through that connection. So deeper, come deeper and further. Whatever that is for you, you have to figure that out for yourself between you and God. But you always come deeper and further in connection. I know that after nearly, I don't know how long we've been here, 25 years, but God is always calling me deeper and further in my connection. So not only that, these things that are carried inside hearts, they are not just for my personal breakthrough, and they're not just to set up my children. That's my heart. But our eyes must look beyond all of that to cities, regions, nations, because it has actually got the potential to touch and change so many people's lives. So, for example, the woman at the well, this is where we see what is transferred into your life can touch a city. She is in John 4. We won't turn there, but I'll just paraphrase. This woman had struggled with infidelity her whole adult life. She had 5 husbands. She was with her 6th man. And this was a stronghold in her life. Any human would look at that in the natural, with natural eyes, and go, oh, she's too far gone. That's too hard. That problem is too big. But Jesus, that sin wasn't a problem. And when he looked at her, he didn't see a woman just a woman in sin. He saw an entire city. So this is why. When he put his finger on her sin, she responded accurately. He explained exactly how many men she'd had in her life. And she responded. She wasn't defensive. She didn't run away. She received it. And she said, you're a prophet. And there's a scripture in the Bible that says, receive the prophet, you receive the prophet's reward. So when you recognize the grace on someone's life and you receive them and you let them speak into your life, there is a reward for your life. There is a blessing for your life. And then she asked him to speak into another area of limitation in her life. So she's just surrendering to Jesus at this point. And this area of limitation wasn't just for her. It was a religious issue about worship that had divided Samaritans and Jews for generations. And again, Jesus just pointed her up, you know. So after that encounter, she left Jesus and she witnessed to an entire city. She said, I found the Messiah. So she shared Jesus with the entire city. So when you connect with someone, not only is there a grace to overcome every sin issue that you may have been struggling with in secret by yourself, but there is an access. Your life becomes an access point for multitudes. Multitudes are connected to your life. You know, there are people in this building who could touch a nation, people who could touch a region, a city. You know, I think, God, I would be happy with my family. Just touch my family through me. But you know what? Looking biblically, we must expand our horizons. There are things that, you know, God wants to do in your life, not just for you, not just for your family, but for a city, for a region and a nation. That is the grace to overcome. The second point in how to live in the Spirit, you know, everything is to your advantage. Romans 8:28 says, and we know that all things work together for good for those who love God and are called according to his purpose. So when we're living in the flesh, we see everything from the point of view of the flesh. So when hardships come, you try to fight your way out of them in the flesh. You react with your emotions. You react in your thought life. You react in your behavior. You blame. You resent. You become bitter. These are all natural. And honestly, if you look at some situations and circumstances, that would be justified. But it is not the way. It is not God's way. It doesn't bring life. It actually traps you under the law of sin and death. But the other reaction is that you realize that even though God didn't cause the hardship, he's working through it. Like I said before, the hardships are temporary. He's refining you through the hardship. He is drawing out the treasure within, the gold and the removing all the dross. All through the pain and the heartache, God is in the making of you. So when you have an attitude like this, you are positioning yourself to soar. That is the mentality of an Isaiah 40:31 person. You're positioning yourself to soar. You're actually harnessing the power of the wind and the storms to help you gain altitude. You'll get to the point where you are looking down upon your problem with a bird's eye view. And sometimes there's just, you know, I come to people with Pastor Brian and Lynn, people in my life that I love and I trust. And I sometimes have a list of things. I have agenda items. Jasmine, I do it. I'm like, I've got to write an agenda because I've got so many problems that I'll lose track of them all. And I maybe get to one or two and the rest are just gone. And it's because I know there is a grace on their lives to lift me above. And just in one conversation, one heart-to-heart communication, I've been translated from this area, this limitation where I've camped out in my flesh and I'm looking at everything overwhelming me, and I've been translated to a place in the Spirit where I'm looking down on those things. And that's the grace of that connection. So, you know, Joseph's brothers staging his murder and secretly selling him into slavery worked to his advantage. I'm just going to put it out there because I know there are things in our lives that we're like, I can't see an advantage out of this. But you look at the scripture and you're like, wow, you know, puts it into context and perspective. Joseph being wrongly accused and thrown into prison worked to his advantage. Both set him up for the palace to rule over an entire nation. So there was a depth, a treasure within him that God drew out in those hardships. And that was led him to a place of rulership, of governing. Haman's plot to exterminate the Jews worked to the advantage of Esther, worked to the advantage of Mordecai and the Jewish nation. Even the corrupt religious leaders of Jesus' day, their strategy to crucify him worked to his advantage, worked to our advantage. How amazing is God? He is more strategic than anything we could ever imagine, you know, and something that set me free from a lot of worry and anxiety was this one phrase, even the devil is God's servant. You know, even the devil is God's. God uses him to fulfill his plan ultimately in the end. So this alleviates the stress and worry from your life because you can't control everything, but you can control who you put your life, where you put your life in God's hands, and that changes everything. The last point is of living the Spirit is going deeper and higher. So every single thing, like I said at the beginning, this scripture has just been on my heart so much. Deep calls unto deep. And I felt like God saying, I don't know if anyone else can relate to it, but Heidi, stop living in the shallows. You know, my shallows look like this. I've got 10 million piles of washing. I've got dishes. I've got work, homeschooling, church life, pastoring, you know. And before I know it, I'm just very tired and my mind is gone. My spirit is not sharp anymore. And I'm just going through the motions of church life, rocking up to the next thing. Oh, that is not what God wants for us. There is no life in that. That is shallow living. And I know that, you know, there are things in our lives, your things might be different to mine. There are things in our lives that genuinely stand in the way. But there is a grace to overcome. God knows whatever is standing in your way. Not only those natural things, but, you know, in my heart, I'm like, God, I've got fears about this next season. God, I've got things that I feel like I don't know. God, I feel like you're leading me into the unknown. And then I felt like I need to sing it like Elsa. Amy can do that part next time she preaches. But, you know, I've got questions in my heart that haven't been answered yet. I've got things that sometimes confuse me or that I disagree with or whatever that I don't understand. And it's like God saying, it's okay, go deeper. You know, go deeper and you will go higher. The deeper you let God's Spirit touch your heart, the higher that he lets you soar. So every single thing in this world that is of value is found in the depths. You know, look at the mines. They are, you know, if you ever have ever driven past the coal mine, it is deep. you know, there was an idea that once it's decommissioned, fill it with water. No, you can't fill that thing with water. It is too deep. Everything, gold, it's deep. It's buried deep. You know, when Jesus came to the fishermen and they hadn't caught anything all night, he said, go back out there. And they're like, no, we've done that. We've tried all night. But he said, go into the depths. Go deep. And they did exactly what they did all night. But because they went deeper, they got the abundance. So there is an abundance in the depths. And I think sometimes the world, just the pressures of the world or whatever you're struggling with, causes you to stay in the shallows, and you can find comfort in the shallows. And it looks like this. This is what it looked like for me. Pastor Brian or someone would say, hey, Heidi, how are you going? Good. I'd run away. Good. And then he'd say, how are you really going? And then for some reason, I would cry because in that moment, he had accessed the depths, you know, and I couldn't control my expression or what was in there, and it just all came out. That's okay. You know, let someone access the depths of your heart, and you can fool yourself into thinking, that's all right, I let God do it. But God measures through your relationship and connection with the people he's put in your life. You know, it says in the Bible, how can you love God who you can't see if you can't even love your brother who you can see? And what he's saying is that there's a measurement here that you can use so you don't deceive yourself. And to transfer a word, how can you go deep with God who you can't see if you can't even go deep with your brother who you can see? So God has put people in our lives to help us open up our hearts so that God has access to the depths of our heart. You know, it's a time, I really believe, where he's calling us from the shallows into the depths, because there's an abundance in the depths. There is a blessing in the depths. There's a treasure in the depths, not just in the leaders and the people around you, but in yourself, in your spirit. There's a Christ in you that wants to come forth that you access in the depth. You know, that scripture comes from Psalm 42:7. And it's that entire chapter is about a man who is suffering unbearable circumstances, and he's describing how his enemies continuously taunt him. Where is your God? Where is your God? In desperation, the man describes his need for God like a deer panting for streams of water. You know, I remember those scriptures that would be in such beautiful worship ballads. But then when I saw it in this context, I'm like, this is a desperate man going, my soul is panting and thirsting for you like a deer pants for water. This man, let me tell you, the blessing of hardships, it causes you to go deep. You go deep or die. You know, that's what it's like. Like there is the cry that begins to come out of your heart when you go through trials that is like, God, help me. I thirst for you. I long for you. You know, that is a cry that he answers, because it's a cry that comes out of the depths, as opposed to a comfortable, shallow life where you're just, you know, just singing the song, going through the motions. That happens to all of us. But I thank God that the hardships I faced, I used to think I was so disadvantaged as a teenager, because I'd just been through things that I couldn't even fathom and describe. And I thought, no one else is going to get that. I don't even understand it. But I felt so broken and so hurt. And this place, the grace on this house, taught me never, ever, ever to subject myself to the mentality of a victim, because I was never, ever a victim. God was in the making of me, and I crossed over that pain and I found him. I found him. I don't know how to describe it because it is deep. I just feel like there is a depth in God that is calling out the depth in you guys, in our church, because he wants you to find him in a deep way, in a real way. There is authenticity in that. No one can take it from you. No one can steal it from you. That is yours. What you find in Him becomes yours eternally. It becomes your children's and your children's children's. It becomes their inheritance. You lay it up for them. What you do, the decisions you make now have eternal consequences. You know, it says that our God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. And there is something about hardships and trials and struggles that cause you to be diligent, that cause you to cry out. You know, a few weeks ago we heard from Sam and Nick, and I'm like listening to their testimony of how they came back to God, and what I heard was a depth. You know, I didn't see that depth in Sam before he left this church. It is hard growing up in church and just wondering what the way everyone else lives. How does everyone else live? But I didn't see that depth in him. And then he left and he went through a world of pain. And then he said, I can't even remember what he said when he shared his testimony, but it was something about a cry like, God, you know, I need to come back. And I was like, there is something deep that happened in him, a deep cry that came out of him. So I hope that makes sense. I hope that makes sense. But I just would love to pray this morning. I believe that there's just, you know, things in people's lives that are going to break off in this season. And it's not because anything you do or anything I do. It's just about the grace that is in this house. There is a spirit in this house. There is a grace to overcome, to prevail, to break through, to rise up, to break through every limitation. Just while every eye is closed, I would just love for you to lift up your biggest limitation to God, to lift it up to Him now, to just lay it on that altar. It might seem like a giant, but it is not. It is not a giant. One day you're going to look down upon that from a bird's eye view and you're going to see it like an ant, and you're going to help other people who are in your position beat that thing with the same grace that you connected with. But God, we just want to thank you this morning that you are just such a faithful God. God, you are such a sovereign God. We just want to thank you, Lord Jesus, and just give you praise this morning, Father. God, for every experience, for every heartache, for every hardship, every challenge, God, we know that you haven't wished anything evil upon us, but God, that you, what the enemy meant for evil, you turn out for our good. God, you give us beauty for ashes. God, you turn everything around, and God, every limitation, God, that is in our life this morning, we lift it up to you, Lord Jesus. God, and we thank you, Lord Jesus, that as you do a work in our hearts, Lord God, as we allow you to go deeper in our heart, Lord Jesus, as we connect with this grace, God, that you're just gonna raise us up like eagles, Father. God, in this next season, we thank you, Lord Jesus, that victims are going to become victors. God, that we're going to become eagles that soar high above every limitation and every boundary. God, I just want to thank you that there is nothing that can hold your people back. Lord Jesus, that you are raising up a Romans 8 company that is unstoppable, Father God, because they've entwined their hearts with you. They've entwined their lives with you. They are one with you. Lord Jesus, we just thank you this morning that there is a grace in this house to break every single chain, every chain of the past, Lord God, every chain of hurt and oppression and depression and addiction, every chain that has held us small, every mentality that has held us back, every offense, every bitterness. I feel like there are relational issues that are coming up in people's lives and hearts that are like giants that seem undefeated. There's one stone that took out a giant because of the grace that David was under. just this morning in your hearts, just say to God, I place myself under that grace. I open my life to that. Lord Jesus, to your divine supernatural grace to overcome. God, I just want to thank you. I just want to thank you, Lord Jesus, for every victory that is yet to be won, God, but we see it in the Spirit. Lord Jesus, for every city that is yet to be touched, we see that in the Spirit, Lord God. Every family that is to be restored, we see it in the Spirit, Lord Jesus. I just would love to invite you guys to stand to your feet, and I just want to sing this song. Not me. But it is just such a powerful, beautiful, supernatural song. And it's exactly where we're at. And prophetically, you might feel like, oh, I don't feel like there's no limitations or boundaries in my life. But you've got to rise up to it. You've got to step up to it.